Amen. Be seated. And open those Bibles, if you will, to Gospel according to John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. Let me say, it's good to see Sean. I missed Sean when you were back, and, you know, I missed that Sunday. So how's Mom? She's doing well. Are we praying for your mom, thanking God for her, and blessing you for going back and forth, taking care of her. Amen. All right. Well, open your Bibles to John 14. We're going to take our text today from verses 1 through 6. So if you have your Bible, you can follow along as I read the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen to that. Amen, church? Amen. Verse 4, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. But Thomas said to him, he didn't know, Lord, how do we know where you're going? See, Thomas is the kind of guy I sit up in church, you know what I'm saying? And we talk about, we got a men's event. And then people say, what's going on? When's the men's event? You know, I mean, there's always a Thomas in us that is in the room whose ears work, but the brain doesn't digest the information. So there's a Thomas in all of us. We need to keep Thomas down. Mayor Jesus said, the way you know. He says, where I'm going, you know, the way you know. You know, I've taught you this. But Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. Just say, Thomas, I don't know where you're going, okay? He says, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. The last part, let's kind of say it together. Say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus said. When I thought about that text and the graphic behind us today, I chose to illustrate in this graphic my title, which is His Way, Truth, and Life versus Our Way, Truth, and Life. And if you notice, God's way and truth and life is clear, it's bold, but guess what? Our way, truth, and life is shaky, is blurry, right? It's not clear. And the fact is, we are living with and living in one or the other, or a mixture of both. I know that we like to say to ourselves and tell people, yes, I am following Jesus' way. I am following His truth. I am following His life. We can say that, but what does our life say? What does the way we're living say? What does our testimony say? What does the evidence say? Amen, church? Is there enough evidence to convict us of following His way, His truth, His life? Or does the evidence say, you know what? I know I've read that scripture. I know that it's in the Bible. I know what Jesus said. I've read it many times. But when you look at yourself, when I look at myself, you know, I really think I am more about my way. I'm more about my truth, and I am more about my life than His. Amen, church? Amen. Well, it's hard to say amen. Say amen anyway, you know. Amen. Now, I wouldn't say any one of us in here are totally in our own way, truth, and life. But I would say this, I know for a fact, as long as we're in this earth, we are challenged to do it God's way. Because doing it God's way doesn't naturally occur to us. You don't wake up in the morning just, you know, unless you pray and seek God, have some focus. We don't just wake up every day always doing it God's way. We have to challenge ourselves. We have to, the Lord says, examine yourself to see if you be in the faith. Amen, church? And oftentimes, hopefully, I can't say often, I mean, Sometimes, at some point, you recognize, Lord, you know what? I've been saying that I'm in your way, but I've been checking this out. I'm not doing this thing your way. I'm not doing this or that your way. I'm not really treating people the way that I should treat them. I'm not really reflecting your life the way in which you have called me to do so. So this is what Jesus said. And by Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he could have as easily as said, your way, your truth, and your life is not correct. Rather than, you know, point to the people, he just said to himself, okay, I'm the way. And by virtue of saying that, he's saying, guess what? You're not the way. Now, this is a very strong statement. It's one of those things that when I was, before I became a Christian, I thought, man, that's a strong statement. How can he say I am the way? He didn't say I am a way. Now, the consensus in the world today, even the so-called religious church, you know, I mean, they're just breaking down, becoming weak all the time, weaker all the time. Now they're down and saying, no, as many paths lead to God. Right? I even read where a Bishop Tutu, made a comment about the fact that, you know, Christianity is not the only way to God. Read that, like, dude, who are you with? But there is this tremendous movement today to say, you know, Allah, Jehovah, Buddha, different name for the same God. Now, here's the test. Which God has a son named Jesus? That's the real God. And it may sound arrogant to some, but listen, I'm glad to know and to be clear about the fact Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I tell you, if people hate it. I mean, there are folks who will hate you for saying that. How dare you? How do you know he's the way, the truth? Because he said he was. Who do you think he is? He's Jesus. He created. He created you. He made you. He gave you the right to say, you know, he's not truth. So it's interesting to me, intriguing to me that we are presented with this bold statement. And now we have to consider, in light of what he said, am I with him or am I in my own way? Am I doing it his way or my way? Is it his truth or my truth? Is it his life or my life? Which is it? Amen, church? Which is it? I'm asking us to examine. Take a good look with the Holy Spirit's help. Look at our own lives. And we can always point the finger, but the old saying is, three point back at you. Examine yourself. Amen? Now, coming to the Father, Jesus said, no one can come to the Father but by me. Coming to the Father is not just a one-time event, like a lake. You know, lakes are beautiful, but think about it. A lake is just sitting there. It's not moving. It's stagnant in one sense. Rain comes, replenishes it, floods and rains, fill it up. My point is, we're less like a lake and we're more like a river. That is, coming to God, living for God, is more like a stream of life, a lifestyle that reflects a stream of truth, a stream of discovering God's ways. And so that when we're living in terms of a stream, we have to navigate that stream. We have to, you know, stay in the middle of the stream, have to avoid going off, you know, off the course and getting up on the shore. I mean, navigating a stream or a river is more active. You know, just sitting on a lake, you know, is nothing to that. And so we're more like that stream, less like the river. And so when you think about coming to God, well, okay, I got saved in 1978, I got saved in 80, I got saved in 92. No, not saying when you got saved, when you first came to him, I'm saying, are you still coming to him? Are you still coming to him through Christ? Is he, you know, is that way, truth, and life not a one-time deal, but a stream, a lifestyle in your life? Which is it? Say it's a lifestyle. Say it's a stream. Jesus, Isaiah said, let me see if I have that text, Isaiah 55, I'll read it to you, it just says this, Isaiah 55 and 8. God said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Is that what he said? Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And he's not saying you can't know God's way or you can't have God's thoughts. He's just saying that your thoughts and my thoughts are not the same. That's all he's saying. He's saying your ways and my ways are not the same. So the decision is simple. Lord, then let me leave my way and get over into your way. Let me learn how to think the way you want me to think. Because what you're naturally thinking, what you usually think, how we usually act, is not God's ways, is not God's thoughts. I'm talking to Christians now. I'm a Christian. I got the mind of Christ. In theory, I'm a husband. I'm a father in theory. I am a husband and father. But I got to behave like one. Amen. Yeah, I have it, but I got to live up to that. I got to act like a father, act like a husband, do what husbands should do, do what fathers should do. How many guys call themselves, I'm the man, I'm the head? You don't live like it. You don't lead like it. Amen, church? So, yeah, of course, we understand that we're born again, we're saved, but the challenge is, the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The challenge is you can't get complacent. Let me give you an example. I think the basketball fans will get this. You know, there's a game that happened recently. These games happen, you know, all year round, but this particular game, a basketball game where a team had a big lead and thought, man, we got this game in the we got this one, baby. It's over. They just stand around watching other guys, watching the team come back. They can't score enough points to overcome this lead. We're going to just watch them and stand back and wave at them, not play much D, and just wait for the clock to run out. Well, when the clock ran out, they lost that game. The temptation is to say, we're winning. I got it. I'm saved. I got filled with the Holy Ghost back in 1988. I'm fine. I'm set. I'm a member of the church that I go from time to time. All that. I'm good to go. You're not good to go. Unless we challenge ourselves, examine ourselves. And remember, even as Christians, his thoughts are still higher than our thoughts. I am still seeking the thoughts of God. I need more of his thought and less of mine. I am still seeking more of his ways and less of my ways. Amen? Anybody with me on that? Seeking more of God? Amen? And so when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, what did he mean by that? These three statements, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Well, on this first part, I am the way, what do you mean by that? Let's say, for example, someone said, Brian, tell me the way to, how do I get to, let's say, 30th and Shadlin? I can say, I tell you what, here's what you do. You go north on Keystone and then make a right at the third light. And then go five lights and make another right at that light and go seven lights and you'll be there. Now, you're going to get lost before you get halfway there. I mean, when Jesus said, I am the way, he didn't say, I'm going to tell you the way. I'm going to point. No, what he meant was, I'm going to take you there. Now, I could try to tell you how to get there, or I can take you there myself. See, when Jesus said, I am the way, he didn't explain the way. He didn't just give you points and turns. He actually takes you there. He says, come, go with me. I will take you to the place. See, when he said, I am the way, I'm not telling directions. See, big difference. We think we just tell people what to do, and they're going to do it. No, we got to take folk there. We got to take people to the places that God wants them to go. Amen, church? And it's more than just a thing where we just are casual about this. We just think, okay, I'll figure this out. No, Jesus wants us to reflect his way in that we sit people down. Now, you can't force a person to, you know, make a decision. You can't make them serve God. But we don't do near enough sometimes to bring people into the way that God wants them. We can do more than we're doing. Amen, church? And this was understood. When Jesus, in the day in which he spoke these words, when he was talking and Jews heard him speak, the disciples heard him speak, the Jews spoke often about the way of God, the way of life. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 32 says, God said to Moses, you shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you. That's Old Testament. So that Israel, they were steeped in this language of the way of God, the way to go. The Bible says in Isaiah 30, 21 says, and your ear shall hear a word behind you saying what? Here is the way. Walk in it. See, God's real big about the way, his way. Amen. Isaiah 35 and 8 says, and a highway shall be there, a road or a way, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. See, God is really big on this thing, on what the way is. Psalm 27 verse 11 says, teach me thy way, your way, O Lord. And there's a bunch of scriptures just like that where God, again, says my ways are what? Higher than your ways. My thoughts are what? See, there are ways and there are thoughts you got to get to. You can't assume you're there. You're not there by thinking, by saying. We're there by obeying God. We're there by coming to him. We're there by taking his word to heart. We're there when we pray and get the mind of Christ. And again, we're like that stream, not like some lake. You know, I got it. I'm good. I'm good to go. No, you're not good to go if we're not in the stream of following God every day. Say every day. And so the text is clear. Jesus said, I am the way. He also said, I am the truth. What does that mean? I am the truth. Again, the psalmist says in in Psalm 86, verse 11 says, teach me your way, Lord, that I may walk in your truth. So when you know the way to go, you're on the path of the truth. The truth just means reality. What's the real deal? What is the thing I need to know? What is the thing that's real about this situation? What is right about this? What is God's heart and mind about it? What's God's purpose about this? And you name any situation. You take any area of finance and marriage. You take relationships. You take everything. And there is truth in there. There is something God is after. There is something that God would say, now that's what I want right there. And everything else is less than what God wants. So the scripture defines for us. So the Bible says, love your neighbor as what? As you love yourself. So the Bible says, if I go around, you know, vaunting myself and bragging about myself, and or worse yet, mistreating people around me, then I'm far from the truth. The truth is nowhere near mistreating people, lying to people. The truth is nowhere in, not valuing our relationships and praying for and supporting one another. Amen, church? I mean, many examples. Now, Psalm 86, 11 also says, it says, go on there, it says that for your steadfast love is before my eyes. And then Psalm 26, verse 3 says, I will walk in faithfulness to you. Psalm 19 and 30 says, I have chosen the way of truth. Say, I have chosen the way of truth. Have to choose it. We don't automatically fall into it. Now, one thing about when you travel, I don't travel a lot, but I travel enough to understand this. You're not going to get anywhere traveling on airplanes and trains if you don't organize yourself and know what the truth is, right? You can't just guess what time it is. You got to know what time the flight leaving. And you just can't just, the flight leaves at 12 o'clock, and I'll get there at 11:30. They close the door at 11:30. You can't say, well, okay, I got a rental car, and you know, I don't have time to get gas. Well, gas can cost you $4 a gallon. They're gonna charge you, no, four is regular price, excuse me. We pay four now. They're gonna charge you $8 a gallon, right? I'm saying truth is such that you have to be clear about the reality of the situation. We can't fool ourselves or convince ourselves that we're in the right path if we haven't in fact done and chosen the way of truth. And so the truth is whatever God says it is. What the Bible says, what the circumstances say from God's perspective. I mean, when I had my double vision thing going on, well, the truth was not that I'm going to have this condition the rest of my life. The truth is not. In fact, doctor showed me, he said, now, if you wear glasses, I'll give you a prism. I said, well, he showed me a prism. An angled piece of glass, they put it in the glasses to make your eye think it's looking straight. I can't go around, man, living with one regular glass and the glass, big old thick glass, making my crooked eye look straight. I mean, I would still look crooked, but I would see straight. Like, I can't, I got to be healed. The truth is, I'm healed. Amen? Even though I had a condition, a real condition, a real problem, but my truth wasn't that I'm going to have this ocular motor nerve palsy all my life. Well, he said, it's 5 weeks, 6 weeks, temporary condition. I didn't want 6 weeks. I didn't want 6 minutes of it. But the truth is, by his stripes, I am healed. And therefore, you know, Jesus became, he's my truth. I'm healed. Even when things are going difficult, things go badly, you know, even if things don't turn around, bad news doesn't change my truth. I mean, the gospel is the power of God to salvation. If things don't happen the way I think they should happen, or the Bible says, I don't change the Bible because I don't see results always. Amen, church? Because even truth itself isn't subject to failure. Isn't subject to failure. Truth stands regardless what happens. What God says still stands. And if I don't understand circumstances, that's on me. But God doesn't change. And that's what I am victory. Truth isn't just what people say. Truth isn't what the words that people use. Truth really is embodied in a person named Jesus Christ. Because if truth only came down to what people say, I got bad news for you. We'd be all confused all the time. Because people, all of us, the best people in this world, the best people in life, sometimes we fail to understand things. So the fact is that God's truth stands apart from man's truth. The truth must be discovered through seeking him. No other way around it. I mean, as you said, I have chosen the way of truth. I choose the way of truth. That's why I read the Bible in the morning. That's why I pray in the morning. That's why I listen to you know, the Word of God. I sing praise to God. You know, I sing praise when nobody's listening. I don't want to scare anybody off or anything. I mean, in my car or whatever at home. I mean, I need to get myself positioned where I gotta reach up to the higher way. It's a higher way. Amen. You know, this is a graduation season tonight. We're reminded to have a graduation, a scholars recognition night, scholars recognition. So please come back, all the graduates. But even finishing college, that's no easy deal. High school is easy. I mean, it's great to celebrate high school, but man, people go a little crazy with that. You know, they call your name, everybody's shouting and going berserk. I'm like, it's just high school. They had no idea. Now, I honor their accomplishment, what little accomplishment it is. In high school, on a scale of 1 to 10, is about 1.5, maybe 0.5. You can't think worst they could think is, I've graduated. I'm done learning. I'm finished. You have no idea. It's important. But point to high school on a level of what God has for you, don't stop there. Amen. Even college. College is way more than high school, way more, much, much higher than. But college, even when you finish college and get a PhD one day, there's still something higher than that. And it's always about God's truth. It's always about, why am I achieving these things? Why do I go to school? Why do I have these trainings and all this? It's not to glory in the training, to glory in the diploma, in the certificate. If you just stop there, you miss the whole point. Amen? Truth is transcendent. Truth rises above everything else. And ultimately, if you stop and celebrate at a lower level, you're going to miss the next thing God has for you. So you know what? Every good team, going back to sports, you know, this game I saw, the guys lost. I mean, I saw a guy hit a shot to tie the game, and he's celebrating, and the game isn't over. That's dumb, man. If I was a coach, I'd say, you made a bucket. Why are you celebrating? Oh, yes, in front of the opposition, in front of the opponent, celebrating a shot made. And after the game, they all said, yeah, we saw it, celebrating in front of us, inspired us to go out and play harder. See, we don't want to just stop in glory. Part of our way, truth, and life is we just camp out on the stuff we like. Just camp out right there. I like this. Oh, this is nice. This is enough for me. I'm so happy. I'm satisfied. That's your way. Your truth, your life, God's way, God's truth is so much more. Remember in high school, I was an artist. I was a good artist. I was the greatest in my own mind. I'm a great one. I'm just a great. I don't know how I got off into that. I was into that. I wasn't saved. I'm the greatest. So I applied to John Heron, and I got accepted. Like, of course I got accepted. I'm the greatest. My portfolio. And so I go to John Heron Art School. I'm walking down the halls. I'm thinking, who did that? I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. That's better. That's better. All this stuff is better. And see, their thoughts were higher than my, their ways were higher than my ways. One of the problems we have sometimes in schools is we make children think you've achieved so much. Well, that's make them feel good. I mean, elementary school, high school, and you got straight A's in this school. Yeah, but the whole school standard's too low. Straight A's over there is straight B's over here. I'm saying, hey, y'all, don't get stuck in your way, in your truth, in your life. Rejoice, be grateful, be thankful, but don't camp out around your success. Because God has something more for you. See, God has more for me. Amen to that. Now, if someone claims to teach you the truth, they say, okay, I'm going to tell you the truth about something, and they'll make it clear that it's God's helping them to say that, be careful, because it's a person's character and their fruit that makes all the difference. I mean, for example, can an adulterer teach you how to have a good marriage? They can talk about it. Anyone can say words. But the life don't back it up, man. I wouldn't trust it as truth. I mean, can a greedy person teach about generosity? I mean, can an arrogant person teach about humility? They can talk about it. But see, there's no truth active until we are seeking God's help to do the very things we're talking about. Can a person who is worrisome and always complaining teach about the peace of God? Can a person who is bitter really talk about the love of God? See, what happens is, in our way, truth, and life, we are willing to just use words and to compromise and give the impression of things that we don't really possess. But in God's way, in God's truth, in God's life, through Christ, we're not willing to settle for less. Amen? To give ourselves a pass, to make excuses and to not give God 100%, our all. Amen? So truth is not what we just say only. Truth is about the example that we also provide. And Jesus, again, was the best example. He didn't just say words. He did the thing he was talking about. And he wouldn't just say See, we have to just, I'm teaching today. I trust that I'm sharing with you what God has given me to give you, but I don't represent myself as being the truth. I hope to convey God's truth. I hope to communicate God's truth through his word. But ultimately, I can only teach you the truth. But Jesus said, I am the truth. That's a big difference from someone teaching and someone actually doing it. Even in life, you know, you find people who end up in positions, who talk their way into positions, who somehow got in there, and man, they're in charge of things, in charge of people. And you get a sense that they don't have any real sense of what to do here. I mean, they're just kind of acting like they know about this thing. Like the guy I heard one time, in fact, Pastor Johnson, Earl Johnson, somehow became a swim coach, and he couldn't swim. He a good talker. I mean, that's some pretty good talk. That's some really deep stuff there. You become the swim coach, you can't even swim. Come on. It's possible. Think about it. Yeah, just don't get in the water. Nobody will know. Right? Read the books. That's what he said. I read the books and watched film, understood technique, watched good swimmers. I know these were kids, not adult, not Olympic team, you know, people. But the point is, it's people, we do it all the time. We're talking up stuff without actually doing. And that is our way, our truth in our life. His way, truth in life is, there are things I can do that I can understand how to do things I haven't done before. God can take me there. God can take you to places where he'll anoint you, he'll empower you to do some things for the very first time. I mean, I went to Africa in a missionary trip. Well, I hadn't been a missionary before, but through the grace of God, and I followed someone who had experience, I wound up over there, and I learned because I received his life. He led me in that direction. Now, you don't go to Africa, you don't go to Haiti, you don't go anywhere like that all by yourself. It's dangerous to be anywhere in your own strength. Amen, church? So he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. When he says, I am the life, his third part, I am the life, the Bible says in Proverbs, the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life, the way of life. Proverbs 10:17 says, he who heeds instruction is in the path of life. Get that? So what is life? Life isn't just what we think it is. Life isn't just, okay, I've got my job, I've got my car, I got this, that, I got a few things in my, you know, my house and all that. My life, you know, I work out or play golf or whatever. I mean, life is not just what we say. Life, as God defines it, is life, the life that the things you do that come out of the instructions that God's given you. Amen? I mean, not just the things that the Bible says, but I mean, just things that are about wisdom, things that are about serving God's purpose, things that are about, you know, even the advice parents give and friends give. I mean, life is discovered when you live according to instruction. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life. Now, one thing is true for all of us is this. What we're seeking is not just knowledge. I mean, again, it's season of school graduations. We don't go to college. We don't go to, you know, trainings just for knowledge. What we're going there for is we're trying to seek to live a life worth living. Say, I'm seeking a life worth living. So we think, okay, if I go to school, get education, you know, it'll enhance my life, make my life better. If I, you know, have these friends or join this church or marry this person, and we think that, okay, I'm doing all this not just to be with the person in the church, but the bigger aim is I want to make my life worth living. All right? So if that's why we're doing things, then recognize the fact that, you know, if that's our basis, we're going to come short. Because Jesus said, I am the life. That is, it isn't that we just go to school. I mean, how many people are going to school, have married people, and are just as messed up as those who never had a job, never went to school. I mean, education doesn't guarantee you have the life that God wants you to live. The life that we need to lead, the life that's worth living, is the life that says, Jesus, you are my life. That is, my significance, my purpose, the meaning that I'm seeking in this life I'm living is drawn from the life that you're living. He said in John 15 that I am the vine, you are the branches, right? Every branch that abides in me will take of the fruit of that vine, all right? The branch will take the nature of the trunk or the vine if it's connected. Now, the branch, you can break it off. It can live without the trunk or the vine for a short time. But disconnect that branch from the source, it's going to die. Amen? I mean, if we get disconnected from Jesus, from the word, from the life he promised to offer us, man, you're going to feel the effect. Not right away, but in a matter of weeks, days, and there are people, you know, who don't serve God anymore, who took the risk to say, okay, I'm going to break myself off from Jesus, and I'm going to be just fine. And they found out, man, not only are you not fine, but you're not living the life God called you to live, and you're so far from God, you can't even find the way back anymore. So we don't want to, you know, be in a condition where we are seeking our own life, but as the psalmist said, show me the path of life, Lord. Show me the path of life. And that when we understand that he is the way, the truth, and the life, it says no one comes to the Father except through him, except through me, Jesus said, through Christ. So that it's a simple equation, people. If I want to live a fruitful life, if I want to know the reality, the truth of things, if I want to, have the real direction in life, the places he will take me, I've got to, every day, say, Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for being my Lord and Savior. Lord, thank you for the word. Thank you for worship. Thank you for all the means by which you direct my life. I'm telling you something, church, we have to, more than any other persons in this world, we as the body of Christ are going to have to reflect Jesus Christ in our lifestyle. We just can't say, I'm a Christian, I go to this church, and it's all, just use the words, you know, no, we're going to have to draw near to the one who gives us that life, amen? We're going to have to say, Lord, show me the path of life. I mean, I am a pastor, I'm a preacher, I'm in the Word all the time. I love God with all my heart. I serve Him with my whole life, and I need more of Him. I need to know Him more perfectly. I mean, no excuse, y'all. I mean, if you're a preacher, teacher, whoever you are, I mean, if those of us whose whole life is given to preaching and doing the Word, if we need to seek Him, I guarantee all of us got to seek Him too. Well, I'm just so busy, Pastor. Oh, yeah, how busy? I mean, being disconnected, what's worth being disconnected from the vine? What's worth being broken off, and out there, in your own way, truth and life? Like I said, this graphic, our way, truth and life is faded, it's unclear, it's blurry, it's disturbing, but when you wake up and just say, Lord, thank you, yes, you are about, you actually confess it, Lord, you are my way. You are my, even worship God around the theme. Make it a song, your own song. Listen, y'all, that blurry becomes crystal clear. The lowercase becomes uppercase. I mean, when you understand that God is faithful and that he loves you and that he offers all this to you, just if you accept it, if you say, Lord, yes, I choose it. If you'll choose it, you'll have it. There's no secret to it, y'all. There's no deep mystery about it, amen? So I'm encouraging you in closing to take these words of Jesus Christ to heart. Don't let the Thomas in you doubt and question the things that God has promised to give you. Don't allow yourself to just believe something that we don't have any evidence or fruit to validate. Amen? Let's take that time every day and spend some time in prayer, some time in the Word, some time in worship. Because if we're not, if that fruit isn't evidenced in our lives, then I can say assuredly that we are not in His way, in His truth and life, the way He wants us to. We are in our own way, truth and life. And our way is not enough. See, my way, not good enough. Say that my truth is not truth at all. And say that my life without Him is not a life fulfilled. Amen, church? He said in Jeremiah 29:12, he says, then you will call upon me and you will go and pray to me. I will listen to you. Here's the condition. And you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now I'm confessing something today. Sometime I am half-hearted in the things of God. Don't stone me. I bet you can't. If you can say, Pastor, I'm 100% all time on fire for God, all my heart, then hey, go get a stone and come back and stone me here. Right? I wait for you. Come back. Nobody's moving. Because I sense that, yeah, we're all striving for God. And you can live a strong, healthy life for God as well. But there are those seasons where, you know what? We don't qualify. We don't qualify for God to listen to us the way He wants to because we haven't sought Him with our whole heart. Well, Lord, thank you that we're going to just change our minds. One thing about being a believer is this. You don't have to settle for any condition that you don't like in your life. We learned, you know, series on circumstances that, you know, you can't control some things. But what you can control, you must control. And if I'm a believer and I recognize that, man, I'm into my way and my truth and my life and my stuff is just doesn't measure up, I can make a decision to turn and say, Father, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, and just stand there, open your heart to God and repent before Him. Say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, for just, you know, assuming that what I saw as a way was the way. Lord, forgive me for just thinking that my view of things is the truth. Lord, release me from my own life. Let me lose my life that I may find your life. Amen, church? Amen. Let's all stand. We're going to pray. Take those words to heart.